The following is a lecture entitled Introduction to Krishna Consciousness, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on April 15th, 2010, in Klaipėda, Lithuania.
Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. So, there's one thing we all have in common. We all want to be happy. Everybody wants to enjoy life. But the difficulty is, there are so many things that get in the way of enjoying life. Sickness, old age, death, taxes, winters, so many things, you see, they get in the way of enjoyment. These suffering conditions, they are unnatural. Because the natural state of the living being is enjoyment. Just like, what is the natural state of water? Liquid. Now you can manipulate water, you can turn it into ice by making it very cold. Or you can turn it into gas by making it very hot, well, it evaporates. But when water comes back to its natural state, that is liquid. So when the living being comes back to his natural state of consciousness, that is bliss. Bliss means unlimited happiness. So we are right now in an artificial state of consciousness, in which we have to suffer so many unnecessary anxieties. But the good news is, there is a method how to bring yourself back to that natural state of consciousness. Beyond all the miseries. That is known as the process of self-realization. In other words, you have to realize who you really are. Now, if I ask you who you are, what will you say? You might give me your name. But you can go to a court of law and legally change your name. So is your name really you? Well, you can say, well, I'm a Lithuanian woman or I'm a Lithuanian man. But is that body really you? That's the next question. Is the body really you? When you were a little baby, you had a different set of chemicals than the set of chemicals you have now. But yet you remember experiences from your childhood. Those experiences were had with an entirely different set of chemicals than the chemicals you have now. So what does that tell us? That tells us that we are something different from this bag of chemicals. We have a distinct identity which is separate from this gross body. In fact, it is due to misidentification with the gross body that we suffer all of our anxiety. So, all you have to do to become free of all anxiety is to become free from this false identification with this bag of flesh and bones. All you have to do is find out who you really are. Now, if I ask you to point to your knee, you see, you point to your knee. Everyone point to your knee. Now, point to your nose. Point to your right ear. Point to your left ear. Now, point to yourself. Wherever you point. Everybody points here. Why do you point here? Do you know why you point here when you, I say point to the self? Everybody thinks their self is in here, right here, in the heart. You see? But actually, that's a fact according to the Vedic wisdom. The actual self is called the Atma. And it's seated in the heart. Just like in your car, there's the driver's seat. So the driver's seat of this body is the heart. And you, the living entity, you're actually seated right here in your heart, right now. So at the time of death, that little spark called the Atma, it then leaves the body and the body then disintegrates. That's the difference between a living body and a dead body. In a living body, the Atma is right here in the heart. You see. In that little tiny spark of spiritual energy is very powerful. It energizes the physical heart. Do you know how hard that physical heart works? Can you imagine that heart is good? It's pumping 24 hours a day. For year after year, it never stops pumping. How hard it's working. Where does it get all that energy to pump like that? That comes from the presence of you, the Atma, seated in the heart. So, that's the first point of how to become happy. You have to realize that you're not your body, but you're the Atma that's seated within the heart at the present time. I've been told that tonight's topic is on devotion or bhakti. So I want to explain to you how through bhakti or devotion you can bring that Atma to a point of perfection. Now, you can feel the pains and pleasures of your body, you see. But can you feel the pains and pleasures of my body? No, you cannot. You can feel the pains and pleasures within your body and nobody else's body. But just as we have this body, there is a gigantic universal body in which we are all situated right now. And just as there is an individual Atma in this particular body which feels the pains and pleasures of this body, there is also another Atma which is called the Super Soul, the Param Atma. And that Paramatma is aware of everything that's going on in every corner of the universe. So the secret to becoming liberated from all anxiety is to reconnect the Atma with the Paramatma. And that's done through bhakti. The Paramatma is actually just like you are a person. The Paramatma is also a person. Now how do you connect with a person? Isn't it through love that we make a nice connection with somebody through love? You ever connected with somebody through hate? Or through neglect? By ignoring them or hating them? Did you ever connect in that way? No. We cannot connect with somebody by neglecting them or hating them. If I want to connect with you, I must connect with you through love. And then we can have a nice relationship, you see. By making it based on love. So just like I can connect with you and you can connect with me through love, in the same way, the Atma can reconnect with that Paramatma through love. So when you reconnect yourself with the Paramatma, you become transcendentally situated beyond the material existence. Even while functioning within this body, doing all the normal things that people do, going to school, going to work, eating, sleeping, having sex, defending yourself, all the normal things that people do. When you reconnect the Atma with the Paramatma, even though you act like a normal person, your consciousness will no longer be identified with this material body. And you'll be living in an enlightened divine state of consciousness known as spiritual realization or Krishna consciousness or Christ consciousness or Allah consciousness, universal consciousness. Universal consciousness. So we have come to teach you. I have learned this art from my spiritual master. Is this picture anywhere? My spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada.
Yeah.
He came from India to America in 1965. He brought this ancient knowledge of bhakti yoga to the Western world. So that anybody in any country, in any walk of life, in any occupation, could take this system of bhakti or devotion and become unlimitedly happy. Now let me see if you've today, how many of you here would like to become unlimitedly happy? Let's see a show of hands. Unlimitedly happy. Very good. I've come to the right city. Actually, I was here the other day. I was passing through on my way in and out of Russia. I was very happy to find out that you had a gateway to Russia through that park over there, because we went to Sovetsk and there was 200 cars lined up at the border, and that I mentioned about 2 days to cross the border. But then my driver, Damodar here, he said, well, let's go to Klaipeda. And we took a little ferry, went to the island. There was only 3 cars in line on that border crossing. So ever since that day, I really like Klaipeda a lot. Otherwise, I was only going to be in Russia for 2 days, and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. But if I crossed it so fast, by the time I crossed the border, it'd be time to come back again. But by going through Klaipeda, I was able to spend the whole weekend. I gave some wonderful lectures there in Kaliningrad on the same topic of bhakti. And the people there were very, the Russian people were very, very happy to hear about the science of bhakti. And we had some really rocking kirtans there too. So anyway, maybe you all have some questions. I can answer your questions. I hear someone talking about them. Any questions? How many of you are here for the first time to this center? 1, 2, 3, 4. How about maybe a third of you? How many of you are here for the second time to this center? How many of you here more than, how many have been coming regularly to this center? Oh, that's nice. That's very good. Yeah, we want to teach you how to become unlimitedly happy. There's one thing I cannot tolerate, and that's to see people miserable. There's no reason that anybody anywhere in the whole world should ever be unhappy. Because God created us to be happy. When I was talking about the Paramatma, I was talking about God, actually. In Sanskrit language, God is called Paramatma, the Supreme Soul. So if we reconnect with love with God, that Paramatma, then we will always feel how the Lord is protecting us, how He is blessing us, how He is guiding us at every step. From the minute you wake up in the morning to the minute you go to sleep at night, and even in your dreams you can feel the presence of the Lord, the Paramatma, the Supreme Soul. So in this way, when you can connect with that Supreme Soul, the Paramatma, are also called Krishna in Sanskrit, then you can taste the sweetest bliss at every minute. So you've all stated, practically all of you have stated, you want to achieve unlimited happiness. So I have to tell you how to do it now. I have to tell you how I have done it. I have been doing this now for almost 4 decades, 39 years, almost 4 decades. And I was a young man in my 20s seeking spiritual enlightenment. And I went to so many different teachers to get guidance. Mostly they told me that I was God and I just had to realize it. So I tried to be God, but it didn't work out. It just wasn't a very practical philosophy that I'm God, you see. If I'm God, then why do I have to go to the dentist when I get a toothache? just didn't make sense, you see. But then but Prabhupada came and he taught me that no, you're the servant of God. Instead of trying to be God, try to be a perfect servant of God. This is the same thing that Jesus taught, actually. He said, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. So the whole point in life is you have to do what God wants you to do. If you can do that, all you have to do is please God and then you're happy. Just like when you eat, your body needs nourishment, doesn't it? So, in order to get nourishment, you eat. You give your body food. The hand needs nourishment. The eyes need nourishment. The ears, every part of the body needs nourishment. Even your hair. So, how do you get that nourishment? You put some milk in your eyes. You pour some soup in your ears. You get in a bathtub full of rice and roll around to absorb the nutrition? No. All you have to do is put the food in your mouth, it goes to the belly, then it's digested, and then through the bloodstream it goes to every part of your body. So in the same way, this is the secret of happiness, unlimited happiness. The universe is like a giant body, you see. And each one of us is a little tiny part of that gigantic body. And God is like the belly. So when you give loving service to God, that loving service goes to everyone. Including yourself, because you're part of it too. So, don't we have experience, the more you give love, the more you're happy? And the more that you're a greedy, miserly person, the more that you're miserable? Don't we have experience of that? So the greatest happiness is when you can give your love unlimitedly to all living beings throughout the whole universe. So how will you do them? Just like there's so many people here in Klaipėda. How will you love each one of them personally? Will you go knocking on doors to meet everyone personally? Tell them how much you love them? How long would it take you? What's the population of Klaipėda? How many thousand? 200,000, okay. Let's say you went door to door to meet everybody in Klaipėda to tell them how much you loved them. And you know, you get off work at 6 and you, maybe you have 2 hours every evening to go door to door and see. So how many people can you meet in one evening in 2 hours? Let's say you meet 50 people. How many days would it take to do 200,000? You see? It would take you 40,000 days, isn't it? Well, how many days are there? Do you live long enough to even do one city? That's the point. So if we try to give our love in a piecemeal fashion, one at a time, it's very difficult to achieve our goal of loving everyone. But in the bhakti science, you give your love to God, to Krishna, the Paramatma. And by doing that, then just as your belly gives the food to the whole body, by giving your love to God, then your love goes to all living beings automatically, including yourself. In this way, you get the love that you want, and you're able to give everybody the love that you would like to give them. Even the animals and the plants. It is called universal love. When you give your love to the Supreme Person, the Paramatma, Krishna or God, then your love goes everywhere and you become the most happy person in the whole universe. So what is the system of giving your love to God? That is called Bhakti Yoga. And this is what my master has taught me. And this is what myself and these devotees are teaching, how to do this. The most important thing is to vibrate the names of God. This principle is there in every religion, to glorify the Lord with your voice. Just like in Christianity, they do that also. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God the omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see? In Christianity, it's very nice that the hallelujah chorus, I get goosebumps when I hear it. It's so a nice, inspiring song, you see. So the same principle is there in Bhakti Yoga. If you use your voice to glorify God, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Like we were doing, you see, it's very enlivening, very enthusing. If you will vibrate the names, the glorification of God on your tongue, on a regular daily basis, you'll be in a good mood every day. You like to have a good day every day? All you have to do is get up and you take your bath and then chant the names of God. First thing, do some meditation on the names of God. You don't have to sing it, you can just say it. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this way, do a daily meditation on this Hare Krishna mantra. And then see what happens. And then see what happens after that during the day. You'll be amazed. That, oh yeah, I tried that Hare Krishna the other morning. And I couldn't believe what happened during the day. It was like mystical experience. Magic happened to me. I mean, just amazing. I couldn't believe what happened to me after chanting Hare Krishna in the morning. So we urge you all to try chanting Hare Krishna in the morning. Before breakfast. Take your bath and before breakfast chant Hare Krishna. And just see what the result is. And then when you come to the next meeting, we'll ask you. Next time I'm here, I'll be coming again later in the year. I'll ask you, what have you experienced by chanting Hare Krishna? You can report back to me. Or even better, I'll give you my email address and you can write me an email tomorrow afternoon after and tell me what happened. So in this way, we encourage you all to chant this Hare Krishna mantra. Or if you think it is something a Hindu, you don't want to do it, then you can chant the names of God according to your own religion. That's also good. The point is to chant the holy names of God every morning. And I guarantee you, you'll be absolutely amazed by how it changes your life. You will feel how you're becoming connected with everything. You will feel how you're gaining knowledge. How you're tasting so much bliss. How your feelings of love for all living beings are becoming more wonderfully manifested within your heart. So now I can ask again if there's any questions.
Although we cannot get unlimited bliss in this material world, why we are searching for the unlimited bliss?
If we cannot.
We cannot get material bliss in material situation. Then yet we are looking for material bliss, spiritual bliss or happiness. Why we are looking for that?
She's asking if in this body we're not able to taste unlimited happiness, why even desire it?
Mataji klausia, jeigu šitame kūne negalime rasti neribotos laimės, tad kodėl jos trokštame?
The reason we desire unlimited bliss, even though it's not available in this world, is we are not of this world, actually.
Priežastis, kodėl mes trokštame šitos neribotos laimės, nors šitame pasaulyje jos nėra, ta, kad mes nesame iš to pasaulio.
Just like a fish who is out of the water.
Kaip žuvis išmesta iš vandens.
He is hankering for the water.
Jis trokšta vandens.
Even though there is not so much water on the dry land,
net jeigu ir sausoje žemėje to vandens nėra.
He is hankering for the water.
Bet jis trokšta vandens.
So, even though in this world the happiness is always limited, there's never enough to satisfy us.
Net šitame pasaulyje laimės nėra ribota, jos nepakanka pilnai mus patenkinti.
Why are we hankering for unlimited bliss? Everyone can, we saw the raise of hands, everybody wants unlimited bliss. But it's not available here. Why do we hanker for it if it's not available here? Because just as the fish is not a creature of the land, he's a creature of the water, we are not of this material world. Each and every one of us is of the spiritual world.
Lygiai taip pat kaip žuvis nėra gyventojo kranto, gyventojo vandenino, lygiai taip pat kiekviena gyva būtybė nėra šito materialaus pasaulio.
Did anybody ever tell you that you're not actually a person of this world?
Ar kas nors jums pasakė, kad jūs nesate šito pasaulio gyventojas?
That right now you're a stranger in a strange land and it's time to go home again?
Jūs esate svetimšalyje, svetimoje žemėje ir laukiate, kol sugrįšite namo.
I have come here to Klaipėda to invite you to come home.
Aš atėjau į Klaipėdą, kad pakviesti jūs grįžti namo.
I've come to tell you, you're not a citizen of this material existence. You belong in another world, a spiritual world. That's your actual home. And I've come to take you home if you want to come. All you have to do is follow my instructions, which are actually the instructions of my spiritual master. And we will take you home. Any other questions? Yes, question.
What does Rama, Hare, and Krishna mean? What does it mean, this mantra?
Yes, that's a very good question. Thank you very much. By Hare means the energy of God, and Krishna and Rama are names for God in Sanskrit. So we are begging the Lord in His energy that you please engage us in your service. It's a prayer to the Lord begging to be engaged in the service, His service and the service of His energy. Next question.
It is not one mantra, or there are another.
There are many mantras in the Vedas. There are thousands and millions of mantras. But it is stated in the Kali Santarana Upanishad. That out of all of the thousands and millions of mantras given in the Vedas, there is no mantra more powerful, more effective for elevating the consciousness into the realm of unlimited bliss than this mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's why we chant him. It's like there's many, many cars on the road, you see. But there's no car like a Rolls Royce. This is the Rolls Royce of all mantras.
Mantra Rolls Royce.
Next question.
Kitas klausimas. There is any different way to connect with Paramatma?
Yes, there are different techniques.
Yra skirtingos technikos.
There's what's called the Ashtanga Yoga system,
Ashtanga Yoga sistema,
which is composed of eight different steps. The do's, the rules and regulations must be followed. The yoga asanas, you must become a master of the yoga asanas. You have to become a master of the deep breathing techniques. But then you have to learn how to merge your incoming and outgoing breaths and to be able to live without breathing at all. That's a very difficult. Only advanced yogis can do it. They actually stop their breathing completely. You merge the incoming and outgoing breaths and you can stop your, completely turn off your breathing and still maintain your life. So this is there are other techniques, but they're very, very difficult techniques. But this system is a very easy system. You just chant the names of God. We all had fun chanting together. We had a wonderful, it's called kirtan. We had a wonderful kirtan. Everybody was enjoying. We all had a great time. We didn't have to bother holding our breath or anything like that. So there are other methods, but they're very difficult methods. This method of developing love for God by vibrating His name is the most powerful and easy method. In fact, it is stated in the Brihad Naradiya Purana, Haranama Iva Kevalam Kalo Nasteva 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 Gatir Anyata. In this age of Kali, there's no other practical means, no other practical means, no other practical means than chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name. So other methods exist, but they're not very practical in the same. You have to give up your family. You have to give up your job. You have to give up your dog. You have to give up your laptop. You have to give up your clothes and go live in a Himalayan cave. You can't bring a jacket either for the winter. You can't light a fire to stay warm in the winter. Nor can you bring an air conditioner for the summer. You have to tolerate all the pinches of nature without being disturbed. Living in a cave with the snakes. So these other yogas are very difficult to actually master them. There are yogis doing this. You may think it sounds completely... No, there are yogis who are doing just what I said. They live in the Himalayas. Right now there are yogis doing it. It is extremely difficult. It's not for the common man. When we were in Texas, there was one boy, he just graduated from the university. And he wanted to be a yogi. So he went into the mountains in what's called New Mexico. And he went up high in the mountains and took all his clothes off and sat down to meditate in the cold snow. He thought he could become a powerful yogi very easily just by meditating naked in the cold snow. Unfortunately, he died. So an ordinary man can't imitate these yogis. It takes years of training under expert yogis to be able to master these techniques. And you have to completely give up your contact with the material world. Can't even access, you can't even, not even an iPhone or anything. No iPod, no iPhone, nothing. Just out there in the cave with nothing. But your faith in God, you see, and your yoga asanas. So this is much more practical. You can keep your job, keep your family, keep your house. You know, you can have the, you have a heat for the winter. You can have an air conditioning for the summer if you want. I don't know if it's hot enough here, but I'm from Texas, and we have to have air conditioning to make it through the summer down there. It's so hot. Ooh. But anyway, you can just keep your comfortable life and you can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and be happy. You see? Everybody likes good music. And this is better than the Beatles. I mean, this is really the best music, you know. Any other questions? Yeah.
Can you tell about your teacher and about his path?
My teacher? And the other question, second one?
Can you tell about his about your teacher and his path?
And his staff?
Path.
Path. Okay. My teacher is His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami
Prabhupada.
He is a pure devotee of Krishna who was sent by God Himself to this world to save us from our ignorance. He was born in 1896 in Calcutta. His father was a pure, was named Gauramahande and was a pure devotee of Krishna. He was raised from the very childhood in Krishna consciousness. He told us that there was never a time in my life that I ever forgot Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the age of 22, he was working as a manager of a big chemical factory. A young boy, he was getting a very big position. And one friend named Narendranath Malik invited him to meet a guru. Now, he had seen many gurus who weren't really qualified to be gurus, and he was skeptical about gurus. So he said, no, I don't. I've seen these gurus. I have no interest to go see another guru. But his friend Narendra said, no, Abhay. He was called Abhay then. No, Abhay, this one is very special. This is a bona fide spiritual master. He's genuine. You must come and hear him. So finally his friend kept insisting that he must come. Finally he said, okay, I'll go for a few minutes. And as soon as he walked in the door, there was a great teacher named Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. As soon as he walked in the door, Bhakti Siddhanta said, you should preach this message of Krishna to the English-speaking world. Can you imagine walking in the door to a complete stranger and he gives you an order for your whole life? So, our teacher then argued with that master. He said, who want to hear from an Indian? He said, right now, that was during the British rule of India, you see. Right now we're being ruled by the British. Who would want to hear from a slave nation about Krishna consciousness? It's more important that we, first of all, kick these Britishers out of India, and then we can think about Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati convinced him that no, it doesn't matter what is the political situation. The prime duty in life is to awaken the Krishna consciousness. It doesn't matter who's in power, the British, this party, that party, there's always going to be some party in power. It doesn't matter. The most important thing is you awaken your Krishna consciousness. So, my teacher was convinced. And immediately in his heart he accepted, this person is my spiritual master. So in this way he dedicated himself to carrying out the order of his spiritual master, to spread this message of Krishna to the English-speaking world. He didn't know how to do it. And he was just a young 22-year-old man. He had a wife, he had kids. He had to maintain his family. He was very busy just trying to earn a living. He had no idea how he would spread this message to the English-speaking world. But he said, no, my guru ordered me, so somehow I have to do this. I don't know how I will do it, but somehow I must do this. So in this way, through his whole life, he meditated like this. And finally, in his later in his life, Krishna made all arrangements for him. He became free from his family responsibilities. He was given a free passage on a steamship to New York. So he came, and as a 70-year-old man, he came to America to start this telling people about Krishna. And he attracted a bunch of the hippies, the New York City hippie crowd. They were attracted to this Indian Swami with a new message about Krishna. In the magic kirtan, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So many of the young hippie boys and girls, they became Prabhupada's disciples. And I was one of them also. And we dedicated our whole lives to help Prabhupada to make a spiritual revolution on this planet. So this pathway is centered around doing everything as an act of devotion to God. Our pathway is to do everything as an act of devotion to God. Just like when we eat, we first offer that food to God before eating, otherwise we don't eat. And because God doesn't like meat, fish and eggs, we avoid meat, fish and eggs. We only take fruits, vegetables, dairy products and grains. So we follow the instructions of the scriptures to give up sinful activities like illicit sex life and intoxication, meat eating. And we center our lives around chanting the names of God. One can do this as a full-time monk, or you can do it living at home as a layperson, as a student, as a teacher, as a lawyer, as a doctor. Just like right now in Kaunas, I'm visiting at the home of one medical doctor. And he's a devotee of Krishna. He gets up in the morning, he chants the Hare Krishna mantra before he goes to do his medical duties. Then he's very happy. He doesn't feel the normal stress that a doctor feels because he's connected with Krishna. So our pathway means you connect with Krishna or God at every step by offering everything you do in His service. You always remember Him. You regulate your activities around the principles given by Krishna in the scriptures. In this way, you become happy.
prisimenat jį.
And the result of this is that upon leaving your body, you don't take birth again in this material world. You go, that Atma goes straight back to the spiritual world. And you regain a spiritual form. And you become an associate of the Supreme Being Himself, Krishna or God. So it's a pretty good deal. What travel agent can give you this kind of a vacation package? You can go and have an eternal vacation with God Himself in the spiritual world. No more working. Just play. Play forever with an associate of God. Have fun forever, an eternal festival in the spiritual world. You don't have to worry about money, about taxes, about getting old. In the spiritual world, everyone's an eternal youth. Just like the prime of youth is like 16 to 20 years old. You see, that's the prime of youth. The prime years of age are 16 to 20. Prime means the best. Just imagine you can always be a youth, 16 to 20 year old youth. You never get old, you never get sick, you never die. You eat delicious food, you sing and dance in ecstasy. That's what it's like in the spiritual world. And if you follow this path, when you go to sleep, you're going to wake up in that world forever. We teach our students how to qualify and upon leaving the body, how to enter the spiritual world and never have to come to any miserable condition ever again. You won't see hell. You won't have to see any suffering ever again forever. You just qualify yourself by becoming Krishna conscious now, and then when you leave your body, you have an eternal life of bliss awaiting you. And if you're on the internet, I have a free e-course. You just go to www.backtohome, backtohome.com. I have a few cards here at the end. Anybody who wants to take one has the email address, has the URL and my email address on it. So, is there any other question? What's the next program? We have Prasadam, we have book signing, or what do you have now? What's the next program?
Yeah, we have books.
We have books? She has a question.
If I chant the name of God, does I become very
calm,
relaxed, peaceful?
If you chant Hare Krishna mantra, you become the most peaceful, happy girl in the whole universe. Your mind will never be disturbed by anything. You'll always be happy. Even the worst calamity could happen, but you'll be cool as a cucumber. So, what's happening there? Question?
Thank you very much for you that you kindly bring us back home. Also, I have a question: why we come out from our home?
Curiosity killed the cat. We were there serving the Lord in great happiness. we thought, well, what would it be? It's very nice here, but what would it be like if I could be God? We were curious, what would it be like if I was God? And we developed this strong desire, but I want to try being God. So the Lord said, well, all right, it's not very rare thing, but if you really want to try it, I'll go let you try a thing that you're the center of the existence. I'll give you a place where you can think that you are the center of everything. Lithuania. So here we're all competing to be the center, you see. I'm the center. No, I'm the center. We're fighting. And nobody's happy. So instead of trying to be the center, let's go back where God is the center and we can all be happy serving Him and loving Him. Any other questions? He has sometimes said, everyone is called, but few are chosen. There's a similar statement in the Bhagavad Gita. Manushanam sahasadeshu kashchid yatati siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kashchin mang vidyatvataha. Out of thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection. And out of 1,000 who achieve perfection, hardly even one knows me in truth. So to achieve that perfection of consciousness is a very rare thing. But don't worry, the good news is it's not like the lottery. It's not like that. If you want it, you can have it. Just like earning a PhD. How many people get PhD degrees? It's a very small number. But anybody who's determined to get a PhD, they can get it. So in the same way, anybody who's determined to achieve Krishna consciousness, if you have the desire, I guarantee you we'll make you perfectly Krishna conscious in this lifetime. I guarantee anybody who's sincere that I can train you how to achieve it in one lifetime. I personally will guarantee it to you. If you will commit to following my instructions, I personally guarantee when you leave your body, you'll wake up with God. You just have to do exactly what I tell you. It's like the doctor, he gives you a prescription. You follow the prescription, you'll get well. If you don't follow it, you won't get well. So I'm a soul doctor. And I will give you a prescription. I have initiated disciples here today. Four of them. One, two, three, four. Any more? Four of my disciples have come with me today. And they are following my prescription. And just see how blissful they are. One. You see, this is Rupanuga Das here. Damodar Das, Raj Kishore Das, and Sankirtan Das. They are following my prescription. And they are becoming blissful. So if you follow my prescription, you will also become blissful. This Rupanuga is a lawyer, he's an attorney. Damodar is a technician for a radio station. He's a technician for a leading radio station in Riga. Technician means, what is your position? Programming director?
Programming director is...
Programming director from a leading, for two leading radio stations in Riga, Latvia. Vajrakishora is a monk. And Sankirtan is, Das is a monk also. So you can be a monk, you can be an attorney, a lawyer, barrister. You can be a program director for a leading radio station. You can be in any occupation and become perfect. So any other questions?
Maybe you can chant more?
Yes. You want to do the book signing thing? Okay. Here's what we have. Where are the books? We recommend that you get that everyone take a book tonight, because I'm sure you have many questions that were in your mind. You didn't get them all answered yet. But the book is also a kirtan. It's like having a kirtan in your hands. You can open the book and you go into a kirtan just by reading the book. It's the same thing. Anybody who takes a book tonight, you bring it to me here at the table, and I'll sign it and give you a special blessing. We have some wonderful selections here. We have the original classic of all classics, the Bhagavad Gita. We have a vegetarian cookbook, how to make food and offer to Krishna. We have the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, we have these wonderful books. Any one of these books will put you on the pathway to spiritual perfection. And we're not really selling, but we do require a donation to cover the printing cost. So now we can end the lecture, and anybody who wants a book can come up. And remember, if you take a book, you'll get a special blessing written in the book with your name in it. So we thank you very much. Ačiū labai. Ačiū labai.